Welcome, everybody, to another C-List Villains at a C-List Sunday. Evil Fed here with my best friend and comrade, Villainous Red. We got an exciting show tonight.
Let's start off the show with a little somber note here and get reminisce of Susan Summers here real quick.
Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Please come to me too. Come and dance on our floor.
There she is.
Take a step that is new. We've a lovable space that needs your face. Please come to me too. You'll see that life is a ball again. Laughter is calling for you.
Yeah, it's a sad night that Miss Summers had died. Again, it was one of my favorite shows growing up. Again, it was a kind of a funny show because Jack Tripper played a pseudo gay man to stay with two beautiful women in a apartment.
I wouldn't say he was gay. I would say he was just very comfortable living with women, and that's because he wasn't gay.
He dated, but I mean, he played a pseudo gay man to stay in the apartment.
Yeah, exactly. And that's in order for Mr. Roper to just, you know, to believe the lie, and then that way him and Chrissy and Janet can actually live together. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know anybody that's my age that didn't have a Suzanne Summers poster on the wall in her red one-piece bathing suit.
I didn't. I didn't know that thing existed. I didn't know. I mean, I've known Suzanne Summers through Three's Company, but like the last real good movie that I really seen her in was Overboard with Kurt Russell
and Goldie Hawn.
Was it Goldie Hawn?
It was Goldie Hawn.
Oh, sorry. Then I was wrong. I'm totally wrong on that one. Who was it then? Shit. Then I can't remember the last movie that she did.
I can't remember either. Damn. But I knew she did those tummy exercise things for infomercial for quite some time too. Yeah, Ab Master. There it is.
Eye Masters. So yeah. Oh, actually, no. Step by Step.
Step by Step.
Was the probably the last thing that she was on that I know of, and she played, I guess. We could say that Step by Step is the modern Brady Bunch.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I would give it that.
Yeah, it was good for its time during the early 90s. It followed up, I would say, after Full House or Family Matters, the whole lineup. You know, it's Full House, Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, and then, you know, Step by Step. But yeah, it's on replay right now most of the time on the weekends on True TV. I don't know why they do it like from 10 p.m. to like 7 a.m. But I guess just to catch everybody up on the old TGIF schedule.
Yeah, I watched a couple of reruns of Three's Company because I love Mr. Farley. Mr. Furley, excuse me.
Yeah, Mr. Furley is I wouldn't say he's dumb, but really. You can get over Mr. Furley as far as getting.
Well, he played Don Knotts. He played the same character that he's always played.
Was it just him typecasted? Just the fact played the dumb landlord instead of playing the dumb cop from.
Yeah, exactly. He just played the same character from with Opie and whatever that. I forgot the name of that show.
Leave it to Beaver, right?
Newberry or something like that. Mayberry.
Man, we are old.
I know we already lost half of the crowd of watching us now. Like, what are they talking about?
Oh, that's all right. It's all right. Don't.
Suzanne Summers lived a full life, 76.
Yes. But you know,
she's been battling cancer, I think, for a while now.
Yeah, and that's eventually ended her, which is sad. So, you know, fuck cancer. You know, she could have lived another 10, 15 years. But yeah, it's a tough battle once you get it within third. What's what's the word I'm looking for? Because your guess your levels,
stage
right?
Stage 3.
Yeah, stage 3. Thank you. Yeah, after stage 3, then stage 4 is like, oh, there's no way of getting back from that. Really, not a lot of people can reverse.
Right, right. I mean, chemo only does so much.
Yeah, if they do, they go through a what's that?
Remission.
The remission plus after they do the stem cell stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that drug is called Keytruda.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't had cancer yet, so let's hope we don't get it either.
Me right? neither. I had a lot of shitty bad things happen, but not cancer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take broken bones any day, but not cancer.
Yeah. Yep. Our deepest condolence to the Summers family. And I hope some of you younger viewers out there watch some reruns of Three's Company. It's hella funny.
Well, I don't know. Do you think that some of the episodes could be canceled because of the
woke? Of wokeness?
I won't say it's woke. I would say it's more, you know, at that time was more acceptable to, I guess, to have that kind of joke, right? You know?
Yeah. It might not play too well, but come on, it's 25, it's 40 years ago, 30 years ago?
It's on Nick at Night, but, you know,
yeah.
Jack Tripper could be rapey at times, you know?
Well, Larry was rapey.
Larry definitely is rapey. Larry definitely is rapey. It seems like he's the type of guy who would put, you know, drugs in your drink and then take you home back to his apartment.
You know, 30 years ago, there was a video game, a PC video game called Laser Shoot Larry. I always thought they made that video game after Larry from Three's Company.
I thought that too. I thought that was the whole vibe from the creator. You know, just to have a sleazy kind of guy. But I guess when you think of sleaziness, you think Larry, right?
Yeah. I think Larry. I mean, there's a lot of sleazy people, but Larry fit that leisure suit kind of shirt unbuttoned so you can hear the chest and the gold medallion kind of 70s disco pervert.
Okay, remind me what Leisure Suit Larry was about. It's like, was it just a game for a guy to get laid?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And he would go into bars and pick up chicks and go to strip clubs and pick up chicks and roofie them. And that's what the video game was about.
I forgot which console was that on. Was that on?
It was on the PC.
Okay, that makes sense. I don't remember Super Nintendo offering that as one of their signature games, nor Sega.
Well, they did. No, that was Atari. Custer's Last Revenge was an adult game that they mass produced. I don't know if you remember that. Kids out there, Google Custer's Last Dance. It wasn't an adult video game that Atari put out for their Atari system that I think came out in 78, 76. Maybe early 80s?
The Atari 1800 or
20? I think so.
Okay.
I just remember it had a funny joystick. It was like a mic handle, and it had like a triangle on top, and that's how you move the character.
What was it? Oh, okay. I have to Google that.
Yeah.
So that's that's weird. So that's the talk of the night. Daryl Dex.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Magnavox was the first one, and then there was Magnavox and something else, and then Atari, then ColecoVision, and then came Nintendo, and NCR 17 or TurboGrafx 16 or something like that. Yeah, I had them all. I wish I had them all. They're all worth a lot of money now, but I don't know, shit canned them, you know.
The Neo Geo, TurboGrafx 16.
Yeah.
The ColecoVision.
ColecoVision.
What was the one by Apple? I can't remember. But yeah, definitely those classic consoles are fetching a pretty good asking price if they're like working condition.
So again, we know we had the somber moment, but we have a really exciting show. We're going to go all around the world with conversations of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. Tonight was the season finale, and it was quite great. We're going to talk about Loki and Loki, the first two episodes out. Rick and Morty, Red and myself was at Comic-Con this year, and they talked all about, you know, Justin not being there, and the voices are different. And
we didn't get the actual actors right because it was still during the strike, and yeah. So we got the producers.
Yeah, we got the producers. Yes, correct.
They explained enough to really just get the gist of how they ended up finishing the season, and then, you know, expect good things from the show, even though you don't have Justin Roiland to voice your main protagonist.
Yeah, and we did watch some new episodes, and without Justin's voice, we were talking about that before the show started, and you could definitely feel that Justin's voice is missed a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, you can even hear that in Solar Opposites, and what was the other show that he had? I can't remember the other third show that he's in, but definitely it's, you know, maybe there is a chance that, you know, once he clears his name, that Justin will be back to voice our favorite characters. But, you know, with the way things are, as far as like the you could say cancel culture, or at least being held responsible for your actions, you know, the people paying to get the projects done just want to separate themselves away from that person until that such time that they deem perfect.
Right. Everyone wants to wash their hands of any dirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
like I know we're not a very big on the C-List Village. We're not a big sports talk, but I have to say there's no lost teams. The 49ers lost today and the Eagles lost today. So I just want to say that.
Hey, it was bound to happen, and, you know, congrats to the Jets and the Browns to knocking down both teams one peg down, and, you know, that's any team can win it any given Sunday.
Yeah, that's why it makes American football so wonderful to watch, because any team can beat any team in any given Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like a series where, like, with basketball and baseball, I mean, you have, you know, five games or seven games to work with to get to the next level of the postseason. It's one and done. And luckily, just early in the season, we're about week six, and there's roughly 11 more weeks to go, plus the postseason. You know, it's all a learning process for everybody until they get to the later part of the season, and then now they really play harder than they should.
Right, and this season's a little different than most seasons because they didn't have that many pre-games, and they went basically from one pre-game to basically a half a pregame then to the regular season. So I think that has a lot to do with it too.
In order to get more money, right? An extra game was added to the regular season and deducted from the preseason. That way, you know, since it's a shared income or shared the profit between the owners of the stadium and the teams. So, you know, that extra change in our pocket also gets money from the networks that are showcasing. Correct.
And that's where the money's come from. Yes. From the network. Yeah, absolutely.
We're all just looking for a product that we.
Anyways, how was your day, Red? And then let's get into it.
Oh, yeah, day was good. Went to work, but yeah, looking forward to go watch Morty, and then before that, Daryl Dixon. So you already seen it. So tell us what we're in store.
I wanted to do something first, and then we'll get into it. I've been wanting to talk about some fetishes, and I got a couple books that I got out, and I wanted to show. This is Cap Wolf and the Howling Commandos. It's number one. It's a variant cover. It's a really good read, and it's a kind of a Halloween-based comic. If you know who the Howling Commandos are, Cap actually ran the Howling Commandos before Nick Fury did. So that's something out there for everyone. I really loved the New Champions when they first came out, and the late 70s, early 80s, with Nova as the leader, but very copied with Miss Magneto as the leader of the new champions. It's, oh, wow. Number three, and it's a good read. I want to get the whole series. So, and the final one, another Halloween theme, it's Stormbreakers. I don't know if anybody's read it, but it's fabulous. It's another zombie kind of Marvel, and it's a good read for Halloween.
Wait. Go back to that New Champions one. Who's Miss Magneto? Is that the daughter of Magneto?
It is.
I'm so way out of like the reading portion of the Champions, because yeah, the last time I read them was when the Humberto Ramos was drawing the covers, and it was Nova, Miles Morales, Miss Marvel, Ironheart, and
Typhoon, or whatever her name is.
Yeah, but you know, they were like essentially this generation's new warriors.
Yeah, exactly.
And so with that one now, who's in that team?
It's Miss Magneto, a new version of Quicksilver, a younger version of Scarlet Witch. It's kind of all kids of Magneto and a younger version of Hercules.
Ooh.
And Hercules was a founding member of the New Champions when it first came out.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Was it a connection to the Contest of Champions at all, or?
No. The New Champions was a West Coast Los Angeles spinoff of the Avengers, and that's where they came. And then later on, Hawkeye was in there for a little bit, and some other people, nobody big. I think Spider-Man was in there for a week, but all younger.
Superheroes. Again, it is the new Warriors reincarnate with Champions, right?
Yeah.
So you got Young Avengers, Champions, aka the new Warriors, and then you got your older tier, which is X-Men, Avengers,
X-Factor, X-Force.
X-Force. But was it from Canada?
Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight. Yes.
One of my all-time favorite characters, Puck. I love Puck. He was Wolverine before there was Wolverine.
Oh shit. Okay. And then Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
So you figure
there's others. There's the Defenders and all those ones too. Actually, the Defenders was my favorite group in the back in the day. I don't like the new cast so much, but
those are like the street level heroes, right?
No, the original Defenders was Namor, Hulk, Doctor Strange, and Valkyrie, and later on Nighthawk.
I feel so uneducated, and I'm glad you're actually giving me the actual information that I needed. So
we're both super nerds, so I mean we can't know it all. So you know, and if there's someone out there and watching us that knows more, please send us a message and let us know what we're doing wrong.
Well, hey, it's all a nerdom, but there's gonna be people that's gonna, I guess, critique our performance and our knowledge, which is fine. But you know, the biggest toxic fan base is always going to be, you know, either within the Marvel DC universe or Star Wars fans.
Yeah, so absolutely, no question.
You're always going to get the bad and good when it comes down to critiquing.
Okay, well, I guess since you started it, let's go with the Walking Dead, Daryl.
Did I just lose
the finale today? The season finale. No, I'm here.
Okay, got it. You kind of paused there.
Yeah, oh, sorry about that. It was a really good episode. It had a strong left turn. The character Laurence, the boy who's born of the zombie mother, he had to kill his father, which is kind of biblical with Job having to kill. Maybe I'm wrong because I'm not really versed in the Bible. I don't know if it was Job or Abraham had to kill his sons or whatever. So and it kind of had that feel into it for a little bit. Daryl got Laurent and Isabella to the nest. And the villain in the first couple episodes, the guy with the scar face, and that he thought Daryl
killed his brother.
Yep. He ends up not being a bad guy, which was a total left turn because he ends up being the savior of Daryl and Laurent and all them. And he goes back to the real villain, who's the woman of the resistance, and he gets his just due.
He does a total 180 and becomes not an anti-hero, but the actual dude that saves the day. What pushed him to that side? You know what?
I think he fell into the belief that Laurent is godlike or God reincarnated or Jesus reincarnated or whatever. The people think that Laurent is. I think he finally turned the leaf and saw Laurent as this savior of mankind, and I think that's where he got his epiphany.
Oh, goddamn!
Yeah, because like I said, it was a total left turn. I didn't expect it. I expected when he hit Daryl with the wrench across the head that they were going to take them all back and we'd have to start over again. But no. I'm not going to divulge anymore in case somebody hasn't watched it. And I know Red hasn't watched it, but I'm going to give you a little bit, you know, a little bit. So, but there's still some purpose to watch it.
All right. So, as far as like the whole season is concerned, like what would you grade it and compare it to the other Walking Dead series?
Well, it's better than New Hope. I even though The Walking Dead jumped the shark so many times, I still love The Walking Dead. Dead City, it's better than Dead City. Okay. It's equivalent to the last couple seasons of Fear, because the last couple seasons of Fear has been quite good.
Okay.
So, yeah, I give it, in a comic book rating, I think that's what we used to give it. I give it a 9.2.
9.2, that's pretty good. So that's overall for the season.
For the first season, correct. The last episode, I give it 10.
Oh, wow. Mint 10. Jim Mint. Okay. All right. Did it go longer than an hour? Or
It went an hour and 15 minutes, and that's because there's a spoiler that I can't say, but I'm going to let you guys know that there's a young lady with gray hair makes her appearance.
Young lady.
She's younger than me. She's younger than me.
All right. So you're saying there's a post-credit scene?
No. There is a in this episode.
In this episode. Okay. So we don't have to wait till after the credits, because they're only gonna roll those anyway. They're just gonna jump ahead and then you'll see the person. And this person, I assume, is an original character from the show.
From the second season, yes.
Okay.
She jumps in the second season. So the first season is all the first season of Walking Dead is all Rick and him getting shot in the hospital, the zombies coming out, and then him meeting Morgan, and then they go to like the camping area, and that's where this lady comes into effect. Mm. So I'm not going to say her name, but I think Walking Dead fans know who I'm talking about.
All right. Do we get a Talking Dead episode after that, or
no Talking Dead, none of that little piece of you know what? I don't like him at all. I met him in real life, and he's a real schmuck. Let's go back in time, maybe even before your time. There used to be a video game channel that was broadcast in San Francisco at 850 Townsend called ZDTV.
Okay.
And Mr. Hardwick used to work there. And I worked at UPS at that time, and I used to deliver to that building. And I used to deliver to ZDTV, which was all those people that we love, Olivia Munn and all those people that were there. And he was not a very nice guy, even back then. And he did have his wife-beating, girlfriend-beating problem. That's why they took him off the air for a minute, but then they got him right back.
Oh, okay, so you would say that was the first incarnation of G4 TV?
ZDTV was G4 TV. That was the parent company that owned G4 TV.
Oh, shit.
It was called ZDTV. That was the parent company of G4 TV. Oh. Adam Sessler out there. Nice guy.
So you would never be in the same room as Chris Hardwick from that first impression then?
Not without punching him in the face, no.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah, so I would definitely take my stab at him. Yeah, let's put it that way.
Okay, so I figured that after he got removed from that I guess network, then he moved over to MTV to host the that game show for.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a little history of Chris Hardwick then.
Yeah. Well, we went off tangent again. I told everyone out there we're going to go from left to right to A to Z today, so I think we're keeping our promise to the fans.
That's fine. We can take this conversation wherever you want to go. I mean, probably not like the whole premise was Daryl Dixon Walking Dead, but if you already had scored it at 10 Jet Mint, then definitely it's worth the watch.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the watch. All the fans out there at the C-List Villains, please take a look at Daryl Dixon the season finale, because it definitely is a left turn. I like left turns because I don't want to predict. You know, because The Walking Dead got predictable, and so did all the other ones. So this one, really, I didn't expect anything, and it sure turned left.
Oh, okay. That's then. I have roughly 70 minutes before I catch it on TV. All right, so let's move on to the next show, which is you got the first two episodes of Loki season 2, and so did you watch?
I did. I just watched them yesterday to refresh because there was a lot of time skipping and time slipping, and you had to really watch it and make sure you put your phone down because you would got lost real quick. So yeah, I liked it. I liked Short Round in there. I think he plays Short Round and he does a good job. And I think they're all going to Kang the Conqueror, and that's where it's going to end up, Kang the Conqueror. They're all trying to tie it into Kang the Conqueror.
It's nice to have that character there where you could depend on getting information and have them figure out, you know, all the ins and outs of whatever complexity they got themselves into. And with your Ki-Young Kwan, the Short Round, or you call him Data from
Data. I think his name is OB in this show.
Yeah, OB is his character in the show, which is short for I can't even pronounce the name. So we'll
stick Obin Gwyn or something like that.
And he's the one who wrote the book of the TVA.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a buddy cop comedy and action when it comes to.
I get that. Yeah, it's a Lethal Weapon without Danny Glover.
Yeah, so Mobius and Loki are your main, you know, cops who are policing the TVA and the timeline. When you have Obi as your office nerd that'll help you out, and then you have the other Filipino guy that's also another,
and then Q-12, who's like the soldier.
Yeah. Oh, and then the is that the lady cop?
The African American lady cop, correct?
Yeah, I would say she's like the actual commissioner that I guess runs the joint, since the one previous season, I forgot her name, but she's the one that I kind of bounced with or left with Kang,
right?
So yeah, you kind of need that authority figure. So it's nice to see your TV tropes like reuse for Marvel,
your TV buddy cop story going on,
and you know, you would see the exchange between Mobius and Loki, and like, you know, who's going to be the bad cop this time, or who's going to be the good cop this time, and so far, I mean, the first two episodes, although be a little bit confusing because of the timeline stuff, it's pretty, I guess it keeps me engaged.
I think that's a good way to describe it. It does keep you engaged. You don't want to look at your phone and look away from the TV for 1 minute because you'll be lost.
Yeah. I mean, the first episode, we get to see where Sylvie is at. She ends up ends up at a McDonald's in Braxton, Missouri. Braxton plays a role in the earlier books in Marvel. I forgot what it was, but I guess that's where I have to look it up again. But it's something with a timeline that involves Loki as well. And then we get to see find out what happens to Miss Minutes and then the head of the TVA. But you know, I wish they had kind of stuck with Loki going through the time loop, like going in and out, and play with that a little bit more instead of just having to stop in that first episode.
Well, he phases in and out of the second episode a little bit, but then I guess he figures out how to stay in one place because Obi read the book and give them the rules of that, and that's how they kind of stay in one place, or how he hovers in one place for a little bit.
They pulled him out of the time loop. The loom.
Yeah, there it is. That's the word.
But Obi was still trying to figure how to fix the time, the sacred timeline, because there's just so many being pushed through the time. I don't know what that machine is called, but you know, when you're trying to weave shit and you got too much thread, it's starting to tangle everything up together. And that's what Obi was trying to fix. Right. But then eventually on the end of the second episode, they ended up cutting off the branches off the new sacred timelines.
Yeah, because Loki goes back there and tells like Obi what to do and how to fix it. And then Morbius puts this cool spacesuit on and goes out there and Ghostbusters it with a plasma cannon kind of thing, just like Ghostbusters. I thought that was a kind of an homage.
Yeah, a little bit of homage, but also because he had to wear the suit to protect him from after he pulls out.
Burning up.
Yeah, he would the aging.
Right.
Out of the branches is making the suit age. So once it starts to break down, he'll age with the suit and then he'll die because of that. It's a nice premise, and I wanted to get into it further, but again, it's just, it gave us a little teaser.
Right. I kind of liked when Loki referenced to Morbius, like, aren't you curious what your life would have been if they didn't suck you into this job without your free will? And Morbius kind of says, no, I'm glad I'm a time cop. So, yeah, I like that.
You can say that. I mean, but you from the first season, he was really, I guess, dwelling upon like what could have been, or at least trying to get there, because he was eyeing that magazine with the water, the jet skis.
Right. Yeah. But then he realized that, you know, that's his calling, to be a time cop.
It is. But maybe we'll see later on that he'll eventually become his variant and you know, take on the life that he's supposed to live. But that's probably going to be later in a series, maybe this season or maybe next season.
Well, let's give it a comic book rating. What do you give it, Red?
So far for the two episodes, I think I'll give it a 9-0. It's, again, it's a little bit messy when it comes down to story, but it's supposed to play out in the next what six episodes that's left?
Right, six episodes are slotted. Yeah, yeah, I agree. I give it a 9 because the premise is cool. The character Loki is cool, and you know, nothing like the God of Mischief that has able to jump through time. So yeah. I mean, yeah, that can be quite amusing and quite full of mischief.
Yeah.
I give it a 9. I give it a 9 on it.
You kind of forget that this is the Loki before. His I guess his mother died and he went through the whole story with getting killed by Thanos. So this is the Loki post first Avengers.
Right.
He's still working with Thanos. But you know, you'll get we should be getting more of the Mischief side of the Loki here. But it seems like we're getting, what's up, Mark? We're getting a lot of Loki from Endgame, you know, not just Endgame, but from Infinity War. And I is it by mistake that they should be going with that, with a more mature kind of Loki, or they should have just stuck around to, like, you know, I guess,
you know, I don't know where they're going to go with it. That's the problem, because the timeline is so up and down that I don't know where they're going to go with it. And you know, if your main villain is Kang, and Kang's biggest attribute is to be able to travel through time on his chair, you know, who knows where they're going to go with it? Yeah.
What did Mark say? Felt like Loki is fine. Just finding myself not caring. MCU has no juice left in the tank. Well, a lot of people have had that same kind of feeling with Mark. As far as, like, it just seems like their momentum has slowed versus what we started out with phase 1, 2, 3, and 4. Is the story getting any more watered down, or is it just that we have too much story and that having to, you know, put it in TV or movies is kind of a rough translation from the book?
Or maybe the mouse has something to do with it. You know, the mouse has to make things the way the mouse wants it, not the way, say, Marvel Comics wanted it, or the MCU before Disney took over. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just throwing spitballs at the wall and hoping they'll stick.
Park says, Kang gets defeated by ants. Is he really a big bad?
Kang put a good fight up with Doc Doom, but of course, Doc Doom is the baddest of the bad, or now the goodest of the good, because now he's, you know, not a bad guy anymore. He's an anti-hero. So,
you know, by Quantumania, where he was.
I know.
There's probably different power levels to each Kang, and He Who Remains on the first season of Loki was pretty weak, got killed by Sylvie, and then the one in Quantumania, again, another weak version of Kang, or at least weak enough for Ants to kill him. And then you got the Council of Kangs, who are just, maybe could be more overpowered than anybody else. We're just barely getting introduced to that group, and then we'll see how much of a big bad are the other Kangs.
Right. And you never know what they're going to do, or they're going to, it seems to a weird love triangle. Loki wants to track down a female Loki, but him is a Morbius mix. Yeah, you're right, Herbs. Yeah, I agree.
Late.
I don't know. I always relate things back to the comic book. I kind of take the MCU as the MCU, and I don't look at it as a storyline that fits the comic book world. Because Kang. In the comic, he's pretty tough. I mean, he's not the baddest of the bads, but he does give Reed Richards a little trouble. Yeah.
Mark says MCU Kang, comic Kang is a badass, but they dumped on Kang right out of the gate. Was a bad move.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. Yes. But going to the MCU movies, I can't think of anyone that I really say I loved. I mean, they're watchable and whatever, but they make all the MCU movies for people that don't know anything about the comic book.
Yeah.
So I mean, all these characters are new to them, besides, i.e., Spider-Man.
I mean, would you rather we live in the world where we still don't get comic book movies, or we get comic book movies, but even though they're not up to what we expect them to be, you know, we're still getting comic book movies? I mean, there's got to be a happy medium right there.
Well,
right?
Yeah, there's a happy medium. I think comic book movies are so popular because they're easy IPs to generate. I mean, the character's already been there for X amount of years and whatnot. I think it's easy for Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't have to be inventive anymore and come out with fresh new IPs. So I think that's easy for Hollywood.
Wow, Mark is going. I'd rather get no comic films than the current MCU. Okay.
Let me ask you a question there, buddy. What about the DC comic anime movies? They're absolutely fabulous, and they follow the DC timeline.
Definitely.
What do you think about that?
Mark is definitely a DC fan, more DC fan than MCU.
Yeah. So I'm asking you, Mark, what do you think of the cartoons that DC comes out with? I think they're all fabulous. Their movies are subpar, just like the MCU, but the comic book, the anime movies are just absolutely incredible.
Okay, what he says is they're harmful to the industry at this point. Who's going to watch Ant-Man 3 and say, wow, now I want to read a comic?
No one.
Yeah, I honestly don't think, even with the first Iron Man, I don't think anybody was really, I guess, what's that word I'm looking for? Influence to read comic books. I think it was more, hey, give me more of that. Give me more of that movie. I want it in the cartoon form. I want more TV shows about that. But, you know, since people have less patience and you know, and reading takes a long time, they would rather have it in short form entertainment, which is movies and cartoons and TV shows.
Since we're talking about the MCU, I'm going to tell you what killed the MCU for me. Iron Man 3, the Mandarin. The Mandarin is a badass villain, and he's not an actor playing a terrorist and anything like that. So that whole storyline just killed the MCU for me. I cannot see past Iron Man 3 and the Mandarin.
Ben Kingsley as the red herring for the Mandarin was fucking hilarious. But I get your gist. I get your gist as far as, like, yeah, it should have been a more menacing a Mandarin versus what's his face playing, you know, I guess an overpowered dude on a vengeance trip to get Tony Stark back.
Right. Yeah. That's what killed the MCU for me. Iron Man 3. Yeah.
See, DC Animation pre-Apocalypse War was fire. Hasn't found its footing in the current Tomorrowverse. And then he also says, they hired Sir Ben Kingsley and made a fucking joke out of him.
You know, I agree. That's where I'm getting at. They ruined a great villain in the MCU. I mean, a great, great villain who not only fought Iron Man and the Fantastic Four and the Avengers and Spider-Man and all the big heroes, Captain America, and made him an actor.
Trevor Slattery, he was funny, but he was also legit scary as the bad guy. Yeah, is Trevor in the books? I don't have history on that one either. But, you know, as far as like Ben Kingsley being a serious actor, maybe he's at a point of his career where he wants a little bit of comedy and then, you know, diversify the acting chops.
But it's the story that made Ben Kingsley a clown, not Ben Kingsley's acting.
Yeah. It's still believable that they make him, I guess, being him the goofy dude who was just talking to playing a role and then, you know, eventually taking responsibility for destruction and death. You know, you know, some guys are kind of like that when it comes down to being so naive.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they'll never see me coming. So.
Wow, you remember the lines from that terrible movie.
She loved that line because it kind of stuck because of the way he had a, what do you call it, a cadence to it.
Right.
But yeah, it kind of sticks to you. Okay, like, all right, you're dealing with a menace. And you would think that he's not a British dude. He's just some random guy, maybe from the Middle East, maybe from, you know, buttfuck Indiana. I don't know.
I've been to buttfuck Indiana. I remember everything. Good. I'm glad.
Well, for me,
I'm glad you're here to critique us.
For me, it's I remember some things and not remember the shit that I'm supposed to remember. That's a curse for me.
I only remember garbage, stuff that's useless information. That's what I remember.
I have too many lyrics from 90s R&B songs in my head to really just remember anything else.
That girl is poison. Never trust a big butt and a smile.
Shout out to Buttfuck Indiana. Yes. We have more subscribers in Buttfuck Indiana.
Mark, you've been there too? Okay, moving right along, since we got on the tangent on the MCU, Red, you got something more to say about this?
Let's skip Ahsoka. We'll get the Rick and Morty. Well, let's get the Rick and Morty because we're getting close to the time where we're gonna catch that stuff here in a bit. Let's take a look at the trailer for Rick and Morty. Let's see what we're into for tonight. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's share this screen and let's hit play.
Hey, look, Morty. I'm a leg. A leg, Morty.
Any progress?
I found the version of me that killed my wife. You just missed it.
Can I ask if you're currently a hologram?
Yeah. Hold on. One sec. 21 sober? Have you been drinking?
On a Thursday?
How long does a society take to collapse?
Let's find out.
I'm telling you, man, you're making a big mistake here.
Who's ready for Rick's famous spaghetti?
I said I was sorry.
No, you didn't.
I said it quietly. Shut up.
Dad, you had a job interview, right?
Bombed it.
Whose car is this? Whose sun visor is this? What's the sun?
I was wondering if you could help me out with a bit of a rake situation.
A rake situation?
Well, that last one was just for shock value. The only thing you see, you know it's gonna be the
Ace of Spades. The Ace of Spades. What do you say, Rick? To fly through space, come upon something, maybe I have a moral objection.
Rick and Morty, we're back, baby!
Rick and Morty, new season premieres Sunday, October 15th at 11 p.m., only on Adult Swim.
All right, did you catch, I guess, a bunch of recurring characters? I saw Water T. I saw the president of the United States played by
David Craig. David Keith. His name is David Keith.
I've seen him.
And did you notice Birdman is not Bird Phoenix anymore?
No.
The trailer he was Birdman, but he's, you know, when it ended up, he's Bird Phoenix. Rick brought him back to?
No, because was it last season? They sort of killed Bird Phoenix and then revived Birdman back.
But he was still made of he was still like a robot on Rick's wall.
Yeah, well, I think because he whatever was left of his Birdum was kind of damaged from when he was under control of the chick, the Summer's friend. I forgot her name. But yeah, remember he was in, Mind Control.
Yeah.
So
my favorite character, Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Mr. Poopy Butthole. I think we're expecting a new voice for Mr. Poopy Butthole as well.
Yeah. I've already watched the episode because I get an early feed with my dish. I'm a Rick and Morty super fan. I like the episode. It took me a little bit to get by the new voices. Morty is a little less whiny as Justin made him. So there's no really golly gee, Rick, the voice I like. But I mean, you know, you just close your eyes and it goes away.
Okay. All right. As long as you can get it close, I think you can get by with it. It's hard to lose a guy like Justin Roiland, one of the creators and the main voices of your protagonist, but it, you know, replacement, however, can be happen. And I think they were thinking of doing AI at one point, but if they got an actual legit person to do the voices, that's perfect, because it's like bringing in like Dave Coulier to voice Elmo, you know, instead of just having, because the last guy had died off, right? Remember Dave Coulier from Full House,
right?
Yeah. But even that, I think Dave Coulier wouldn't.
Yes,
Dave Coulier wouldn't have worked out because I guess he went through some kind of rapey shit like back in the 90s, I guess, and hence the song by Alanis Morissette was made because of that.
Right. Yeah, it was about him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, I took that on a tangent too.
Again, we said we're going to go from A to Z, and we're going from A to Z. We're keeping our promise. The C-list villains don't lie.
No, we don't. We don't. as a villain, I think we're that's not such a villain type of a trait.
Well, I mean, there's villains who don't lie. Doom never lied. Doom always told him exactly what he was doing, but they couldn't stop him.
What was the line that Loki had said when they captured X-5, right? Like, you know, I'm not the hero. I'm a villain.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yes. And in the ending of the season, he shows his villainous act when they catch X-5, and he really lets them know that he's a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, is it only showing it to him, or is it? I think
he's telling it to himself. He wants to remind himself that he is, you know, the god of mischief. He is a bad guy. Right. Maybe he has to retell himself what he is.
We're dealing with two types of Lokis here. We're dealing with the one from post Avengers 1, and then the other Loki from Avengers Infinity War. And it seems like we're getting the amalgamation. It just seems like Loki himself is confused on how to act, and kind of, I would say, in torment with himself, or, you know, how he should act. He should be the bad guy, or he should be this dude that's trying to get with him, the variant of himself, you know, with Sylvie, or be a best friend with Mobius. There's where's the purpose in Loki now, you know?
Right. So you're excited to see Rick and Morty tonight, Red? Yeah.
Rick and Morty, yes, I am very excited, even though I have to stay up late at night to watch it. It's
11, right?
11,
and then you got to turn around and go to work tomorrow,
which is fine. That was at the office earlier today, so I will make it work. I will make it work. But I'm looking forward to it. The trailer itself, I mean, we watched it at Hall H. I was already excited then, and I got more excitement tonight. You know, coming to that time, you know, the slot where it does come on. So I'm hoping for a good show.
You know what's amazing? I've always loved cartoons. I think I love cartoons now more at my age than I ever did as a child. And I was born in the golden age of cartoons when they still had them on Saturday morning. So, yeah.
I think you're right. You and I, being even though we're a little bit further in age, but still being the same generation, the generation next, I think we got spoiled with some pretty good cartoons.
Yeah.
And kind of carried into our adulthood where it comes down like, you know what? I find more entertainment in animated whatever versus, you know, reality TV or...
Right. I can't stand reality TV. Only reality TV I watch is The Amazing Race because I love to travel, and it's kind of like one of my dreams. We're going off on a tangent again. A friend of me and Red's, his name is Victor. We signed up for The Amazing Race 7 years ago, and we made it to the first two interviews, and then Victor said he couldn't do it. We couldn't go to the third interview, so we never made it on the show. But it's still a dream of mine to get on The Amazing Race. Anyone out there that can eat bugs, drive a stick, swim, and not afraid of heights, contact Evil Fett.
You guys gotta try. You gotta try for another round of interviews to get on the show.
It's one of my dreams.
I can see you more in, I guess, trying out for Squid Games, the TV show. Because there's that competition, not just the actual show, the K drama. We're talking about the actual competition that you get to do this stuff. So more physical challenges.
Yeah, I could cut somebody's throat. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, but
they're adults.
Yeah, but I would love to be on The Amazing Race. Yeah,
Let's work out a partner for Mike, and you know, he's no one's never too old to join The Amazing Race, like, which is, I'm assuming, as long as you are healthy and can do all those things. So if you want to partner up with Mike to go to CBS, go through three interviews, yeah, go ahead and contact him on his IG, his Facebook, Evil Fett. and you know, work it out with him, because you know, I'd like to see this happen on TV.
Again, you got to be able to eat bugs. You got to be able to swim. You got to drive a stick, and you can't be afraid of heights. If you have any of those, don't even waste my time.
Okay, two I can't do. Afraid of heights and swim, but eating bugs is fine, and drive a stick. But so I'm not gonna be your partner.
I would love for you to be my partner. Me and you get along so well that it'd be a pleasure.
It would be fun, but we wouldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be drama. They wouldn't pick us anyways because we get along so well. They like a little bit of combat in the group.
That and you have a skin disease and I get gout.
On top of the gout. You got a skin disease. I see. I told you at the beginning of this, I have a lot of health problems out there.
I would prefer to be the audience and not the participant. It's what I'm trying to say.
And to let you guys out there in the sealess villains land, it's not like eczema or something. I suffer from shingles even after I got the shot.
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything about shingles.
I want to be honest with the people out there because they're thinking, what skin disease does he have? Leprosy?
just say, yeah, I got a rash. That's all. I mean, recurring rash. You don't have to say shingles. But yeah, my shingles.
I got shingles. I got it at Comic-Con. Ask Red.
Fuck. And I shared the bed with him too. Anyway, so
we didn't kiss much though.
All right. Well, thank you guys for showing up and listening to our rant and our reviews on stuff tonight. And you know, we'll be back in it soon and have another round of discussions of whatever we think we feel like it's worth talking about next week.
And please, everyone that fan of Sealess Sundays, drop us a line and let us know that you appreciate this, because it means a lot to us to hear from you guys out there. And for all you comic book fans, make sure you go by your local comic book store and pick up some comic books, because it just helps us, the fans, keep loving the things that we love.
Yeah, you know, we're modern books are kind of a tough sell right now. Just try buy stuff or read stuff that you are interested in. Don't get into the collecting game thinking you're going to make all this money. That's not the whole point of the whole.
Yeah, no, whole, yeah, absolutely.
Find something to read. Find something that'll inspire you to do art. Inspire you to do other things, you know, just do good in the world. And you know, books shouldn't be banned.
Books should
be enjoyed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That, I couldn't say it better myself. That is so profound. Books shouldn't be banned. Books should be enjoyed. Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. Hit the bell for notifications of when we come on Tuesdays, Sundays, or Saturdays, or whenever we feel like it. We'll have interviews with more creators here shortly.
We're going to bring some cosplay creators online too for you cosplay fans out there. I've been contacting some of my good friends to see if they drop on the show and let us go see the world through their eyes.
And then we still have some giveaways, so we'll follow up again on the next episode. I can finally give this stuff away since I'm not kind of bogged down with a bunch of other stuff, my real life stuff that I got going on. So I can finally give away the two books and the paintings that were done by my
Ben. Oh, the Ahsoka painting?
The Ahsoka painting and that was Princess Amidala.
Oh, Princess Amidala. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. So, but again, we'll do a recap on that. Look out for our socials on Sealess Villains at Evil Fed, at Sealess Villains Red, at E-Man's World of Geek, at RKFA Comics, at AJ's AJ the Comic Collector, at Lou Weeks, you know, find us all there. And then we'll see you again soon. All right. Anything else, Mike?
Sealess Villains out.
Out.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Sealess Villains podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture.